All right, I've already introduced him to you. Now I'm just going to get right to it. Austin, how you doing?
Good, Steve. So was this like the other time when you had some random person instead of me? I think that was one of the greatest moments in the history of our segment.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about that. Just, you know, whoever feels like coming on, we do impersonations now. We're not really that strict in who we bring on the show, obviously.
Well, I do have an imposter roaming around Eugene who likes to pose as me on the radio. So,
oh, really?
Watch out for that guy, yeah.
By the way, I'm not saying this for effect. About 5 years ago, I got a call from a buddy of mine at a bar who said, there's some guy down here saying he's you.
Boy, that's not a phone call you want to get.
Not only that, but it's like, boy, talk about low standards for just who you want to be like. I want to start with baseball, MLB, because your beloved Royals had a 29-year absence from the playoffs. Then they lose Game 7 in the 2014 World Series, won the World Series, then a 500 team, and for a while they were the worst team in baseball this season. They've kicked it in a little bit and actually went from worst record. They've passed seven teams. They're last in the AL in offense. I know that they've, from the World Series team, new second baseman, new right fielder, DH, they lost Wade Davis. I mean, is this a rebuild? I know you still pay pretty close attention. Well, what's your read on this team so far?
Well, I'm not sure what deal with the devil they had to make to win that World Series a couple years ago, but they're getting the other side of it now, which is weird because, you know, you mentioned there are some different pieces, but by and large, it's still the same lineup that won the World Series a couple years ago. You know, Hosmer and Moustakas and Alex Gordon. They just, for whatever reason, they aren't producing the same way. You know, you asked if it's a rebuild. I am of the opinion it probably should be a rebuild. It actually probably should have been a rebuild last year. I think they maybe made the mistake that a lot of teams make of trying to hang on to it a little bit too long. You know, they gave a contract to Alex Gordon when he was probably headed toward the downside of his career. And now, you know, it's kind of the last year for all these guys to be together before they hit free agency. And you know, they were looking at this as maybe the last run to get another ring, but I don't see it happening right now.
Let's get to Oregon baseball. I mean, April 13th, they beat Arizona, and they were 23-8. They lost 13 of 16. The postseason is pretty much out. I mean, they've only been back 9 years. Your colleague Steve Mims wrote a piece about the status of the only coach they've known in George Horton. Are we seeing anything maybe similar to Mark Helfrich? Did great work. It's bad now, and there's no way to know what's going to happen until after the season?
Well, that's, you know, that is an interesting parallel. You know, you could certainly make the argument that Mark Helfrich had a lot more success in his job than George Horton has had in his, although I think everybody would acknowledge that George did a terrific job building up the program from nothing when they launched it. You know, to get to a super regional as quickly as he did, it was an impressive thing, but the problem is now they've really stalled out a little bit the last 2 or 3 years, and they're trending the wrong direction. And I think it's going to be a tough call for Rob Mullins. You know, Oregon's had a lot of coaching turnover this year. It had been a really stable place. Rob Mullins had not had to make a lot of tough decisions with his coaches, but he's had to make several of them this year, and I think he'll have another one with George Horton.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and, you know, they've got some outstanding freshmen. There's not a bunch of seniors leaving. I'd imagine David Peterson is going to get drafted. You know, Horton's one of these really high-character guys. Players keep their noses clean, and it's like, I get there's no way to know, but what would you think makes sense, kind of, you know, we put on our AD hat another year, make a change now. You've observed Duck athletics long enough. You have any gut feeling about what might happen?
Well, Steve and I have been kicking around some ideas about it, and I really don't have a good sense for it. I think it's certainly possible that Rob Mullins would ask George to take a pay cut, you know, offer him a contract at, you know, maybe 60 or 70% of what he's making now, and, you know, with some incentives, and say, we'll give you another couple years to get this thing going in the right direction. But, you know, I don't know. I certainly don't think Oregon would want to put themselves on the hook for a lot of money into the future with George Horton based on the direction that things are going. So if George does come back, I would think it would be, you know, for less money and fewer years and kind of a, you know, this is the last chance to get it going in the right direction sort of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it would be completely illogical to think all of a sudden there's going to be some monster 4 or 5 year deal. Yeah. I want to get to track and field. I know prior to your arrival here, you worked in Big 12 country, the Kansas schools. And I was just trying to think, I know Wilt Chamberlain was a track star at Kansas, but what was the level of interest or, you know, maybe your opportunity to cover track and field back then? And from all that you've seen here, assuming it's new to you, how much have you enjoyed kind of this track and field elitist kind of deal you've been able to follow in this town?
Well, I'll be honest, my level of interest in track and field before I moved out here was not very high. I avoided it if I could, and occasionally I covered a little bit of it. And you mentioned there is some history at Kansas. Jim Ryan, famous miler, was from Kansas.
Good one.
so there was a little history there, but it was not a sport that people really followed in any kind of mainstream sense. So it has been different. And I have to say I've developed an appreciation for it. It's still probably not my favorite sport to watch, but I can, you know, I can go to a track meet and I can appreciate what's happening. And you know, you can watch a compelling performance now and see, you know, man, these are, you know, the greatest athletes in the world performing at the absolute peak of their sport. I mean, whatever sport it is, that part is impressive. So I wouldn't say that I've become a real aficionado of track and field yet, but I have definitely developed an appreciation for it.
Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, and of course, you talk about history, be it Steve Prefontaine, Alberto Salazar, the tradition of distance running around here. You wrote about it after the Pac-12s. They dominated the sprints like we've never seen. And, of course, that led to a very popular question about here. It's always been, is Oregon a blank school? Well, Robert Johnson was asked, is Oregon now a sprint school? What was his response to that?
Well, to a certain generation of Oregon track fans, that would be absolute blasphemy to suggest that Oregon's anything but a distance school. And Robert Johnson certainly was not going to take the bait on that because, you know, he knows just how respected that legacy is and how revered it is. But when you look at the way the team is constructed now, there's no doubt that the strength of the program is the sprinters. On the women's side, we already knew that. The three they have are as good as anybody anywhere. And then on the men's side, for Kyrie King to win both the 100 and the 200 in the Pac-12 meet, I think it was back to 1959 was the last time an Oregon male sprinter did that in the conference meet. So it has been kind of a transformation that has taken place. And it's, you know, it's kind of crazy because when you think about sprinting, you think about sunshine and warm weather,
right?
You know, California, Florida. You don't think about the Pacific Northwest. But they've showed that it's possible.
In a more general sense, as somebody who follows so many sports, we hear the dynasty talk, who rates where historically. 9 straight titles for both the men and women. I mean, you think of UCLA in basketball. So, like you mentioned, where track and field rates nationally will never draw the coverage of, you know, the Final Four or football. But considering what an incredible conference this is, how ridiculously amazing is that accomplishment?
Well, it's impressive. There's no doubt about it. It's hard to put it in the same context with football and basketball and some of the other sports because, you know, let's face it, other schools in the Pac-12 don't care about track and field the way Oregon does. Nobody cares about track and field the way Oregon does. So it's not a level playing field. You go to a track meet at Oregon and go to a track meet anywhere else in the Pac-12, and you know it's not a level playing field. But all that being said, you know, the other schools still have athletes. You know, USC still recruits,
right,
you know, guys who can run. And so for Oregon to be able to dominate the Pac-12 the way they have the last decade is a very impressive thing. And it's up there in terms of the most impressive runs in the Pac-12.
Let's wrap with this. The venue itself, I always love, and I fall into this all the time. Does anyone just say Hayward Field, or do they say legendary or classic? And I'll tell you the truth. I thought they were done with the facelifts, and then I read your article on Sunday, and it's due for another renovation. So who all is involved? I guess what's the timeline, and what are the main reasons that there's some kind of a delay?
Well, this Hayward renovation has been kind of an ongoing saga. It was supposed to start in the fall, and then they announced that they were going to push it back and start it in June, but now they say, no, we're not going to start in June either. So I guess it's to be determined right now when the first shovel's actually going to hit the ground. The reason for the renovation, really, is the 2021 World Championships. IAAF has a long list of specifications that the venue has to meet.
Right.
And so there's, you know, very substantial things that have to be done to Hayward Field in order to host that event. And it's still 4 years away. It's a long time, but it's going to go really fast. And I think there is starting to be a sense now among the people who are involved with this, which is Vinland Anna primarily, and the University of Oregon Foundation, which is overseeing it. There is a sense that, you know, time to get this thing going. They've been putting in a lot of time, you know, planning and talking about it and raising money for it, but they haven't done anything on it yet. And people are starting to say, hey, what's the deal here? Why hasn't this thing gotten started?
Wow. That's a lot of information. Good stuff. I didn't even realize it was happening. As usual, I got my finger on the pulse of things.
Can't get anything past you.
Nope. Appreciate the fact you start us off as the leadoff guy on a Tuesday. Follow him on Twitter at Austin Meek RG. Of course, he's the columnist for the Register Guard. Always appreciate the time, Austin. Have an awesome week.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take it easy.